Who would not trust a God like that?
That's right.
Sacrifice his life. The irony, or maybe not the irony, because it's all a divine setup, is that our title today is Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
And who would not trust in a Lord who thought we were to die for?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If it's not an inconvenience or an imposition, will you just join me in giving God just one more hand clap of praise? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to give acknowledgement to Pastor King, who trusts us to come before his people, before his sheep. And I say his because he carries us on his heart. He belongs to Jesus. We belong to Jesus, but we also belong to Pastor. And I'm grateful for that. And to the leadership of Christian Tabernacle, to those who are serving, ushers, deacons, trustees, ministers, family, friends, and visitors, I just bring you blessings of grace. And I hope your heart is happy today. And if it's not, I pray that it will be after sharing this message. I give God thanks for my husband in his absence, Minister Linwood Barnes, who I'm out walking out the door and he's telling me I look good. I say, and pray for me. And he promised he would, because he always does. And I give the Lord God Almighty glory and praise for the honor to once again just share a word of encouragement to his people. Would you please pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me the Lord's Prayer. I think I pray that every time I have an opportunity to preach, it means a lot to me. It is the prayer that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ to teach them how to pray. And if I am permitted this morning to focus on just a portion of that prayer and apply it to this message and to apply it to our lives, I like to select the section, just that portion that says, lead us not into temptation. Just that segment, that little snippet, those five words, lead us not into temptation, because the truth is we are tempted. We're tempted by all kind of things that are just no good for us, things that are not God's best for us. He loves us. He has good plans for us. And here comes the enemy and other people in our flesh trying to get us to do and say and be about things that are just not good for us. And often, way too often, we are tempted to get ahead of God. We believe he's got a plan for us, but he seemed like he's just a little slow and bringing that to pass. And quite frankly, we are constantly tempted to not trust God. So we're tempted by all kind of stuff and sales and Black Friday and this and that. But the temptation I want to warn against and address today is the temptation to not trust God. That's why Redeem messed me up, because when I think about him dying for me, how dare I not trust him like he can't handle everything else. But let me try to stay with what, because I wanted to preach and what I hadn't planned to preach, but whatever you say, Dad. So it's a sad thing in our culture and in our family and our friends, but more importantly, our own flesh encourages us to take courses of action, to take things matters into our own hand. And sometimes those decisions put us so off center with the will of God that often we wind up going in a direction that is the polar opposite of what the Lord would have us to do.
Right.
I'm guilty, so I so appreciate Pastor's transparency. I'm up in my game, you know, just tell the truth, shame the devil. Yeah. For y'all don't know about that. You're freed up when you tell the truth about your own stuff.
That's
amen?
Right.
So my sermon title this morning is Trust in the Lord. And it is a theme for my We Are One group under Deacon Van, Group 11 this month. So we're dealing with that in Wednesday night prayer service, and we're taking our time to think about it and to check ourselves and to self-assess what it means to really, for real, for really real, trust in the Lord. I shared this past Wednesday a personal testimony. I'm not going to share it today. You should have been there. But anyway, of how I got a breakthrough as I struggle. You know, and I'm praising the Lord on one hand and wrestling and losing and not trusting him in a particular situation. And I shared how I had gotten my breakthrough on Tuesday night and then got to share it on Wednesday. Yeah. So this morning's message is designed to encourage you to give everything over to him because he alone is trustworthy. Amen. Amen. I have friends. My spouse is one. If he tell you he's going to pick you up, he's going to be there. And I know folk like that. If they don't show up when they said they call the hospital, call the police because they're dead. They're that trustworthy. But no one is as trustworthy as our Savior.
That's right.
If you are able, would you please stand in reverence to the Word of God? We're going to read Proverbs chapter 3. The anchor is only two verses, is verse 5 and 6. And this is what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to read those two verses. I'm going to just read them in little segments. And I want you to repeat after me so we all wind up having the opportunity to speak the word. So is everyone ready? I'm going to say it, and then I just want you to echo it back to me. Trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
With all your heart.
With all your heart.
And lean not
on
your own understanding.
And
in all your ways,
submit to him.
And he will.
And he will.
And he will.
Make your path straight.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Listen, there is no way for me to know why you came to church this morning. I honestly don't know your personal reasons, and maybe it's a habit or it's a custom or it's just your routine. Sunday, hit that early service, make it on over for breakfast. I won't say which restaurant I've seen some of us at, but you came by the house first, so amen. So I don't know why you're here. Maybe like many of us, though, you for real come because you need a word from the Lord.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, whatever your motivation is, our Father, who art in heaven, whose name is holy, wants you to be reminded and encouraged to trust him. Amen?
Yeah.
He wants you to believe his promises, even when it seems crazy and counterintuitive to do so.
That's right.
He wants you to hope when all reason to hope seems gone. And he wants you to trust him when all of the evidence, let's see, all of the evidence, that would be exhibits A, B, and C, when all of the evidence seem contrary to this thing working out for you, when all of the evidence seems like this is not going to go well, not in the way that you had hoped or imagined, he wants you to trust him. And when you are tempted to not trust him, he wants you to trust him anyway. I want to share with you some experiences of just a couple of people in the Bible that you already know about, who in some kind of way, and it baffles me, I love reading the word, some kind of way these particular individuals locked in to believing God and taking him at his word. The first person that I want to just talk about a little bit this morning is the mother of Moses. And here's a narrative about her. We already know she had Aaron, a son who was the older son. She had a daughter, Miriam, and then she gave birth to Moses. So in the edict that came out by the Pharaoh to kill all the babies, Aaron was not affected because he was an older child. So let me just read a little bit of a narrative in case you're not familiar, haven't heard about her in a while. Moses' mother was a Levite. She was later identified as Jochebed. She had married a Levite and given birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months, and when she could no longer do so, she made a basket out of bulrushes and put him among the reeds by the riverbank. Pharaoh's daughter found him and took pity on the Hebrew child. She instructed Miriam, who we know was his oldest sister, to take him and find a nurse for him, even offering to pay for his care. So Miriam brought the child to their mother, and she took him and nursed him, her own son, and she got paid to do it. Don't tell me God is not good and cannot be trusted. When he grew older, the mother brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Hold that thought. The second person I just want to share a little bit about and highlight this morning is Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and we know God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and the 12 tribes of Israel came from Jacob, who was renamed Israel. Well, he had a son, Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son, and you may recall that his mother, Rachel, had died. Jacob so loved Rachel before she died that when she died, he sort of poured that love out on his son, Joseph. And one of the things that he did was give this son this exquisite, just amazing coat of many colors. That's a wonderful thing for a father to give, a child to give, but some of the siblings wasn't quite feeling that love. So you may also recall that as a young man, very young, Joseph had dreams that God had given him and visions, and he made the mistake of sharing them with his older siblings, who resented him and thought he was just a little egotistical brat. So they thought he was showing off. And so the older brothers got together and they conspired to kill him. And then so they threw him in a pit or a cistern, and one of the older brothers felt sorry for his little brother and went and got him out of there. And then they tried to figure out what they were going to do. So they decided to sell him. There were some passersby. Some say they were Midianites and Ishmaelites, and some say it was a combination of the two. They bought him. So they purchased Joseph, and then the brothers got to deal with this missing son, so they go get some animal blood. They take that many-colored coat. They smear some animal blood on the coat, take it back to the father, who's thinking it's his son's blood and that wild animals have devoured him. Okay, so we know from scripture that Joseph, through all of that experience, had developed a deep and trusting relationship with his heavenly father. And in spite of being thrown into a pit by relatives, because Thanksgiving coming up, so I want y'all to keep, I just want y'all to have a special anointing of grace because there's some relatives, but I digress. So in spite of being thrown into a pit, in spite of being fished out of the pit and being sold into slavery, in spite of being wrongly accused, if you know the story, he's working for Potiphar. He was a young man. He was handsome, probably buff. She checking him out, and she wants to get with him. He refuses, so she accuses him of rape, which led him to be falsely and wrongly imprisoned. In spite of that, Joseph waited until the Lord delivered him from his troubles. Joseph waited for the Lord to determine the timing of his deliverance. I'm going to stick with this because I've already cried and boo-hoo. I always cry and boo-hoo when I write. But that is such a word. That's a word from somebody in here right now. You're just fine. God loves you. He sees you. You're impatient. You're going to have to wait on the timing of your deliverance. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now we got two things. I want you to hold that thought. Joseph trusted God to keep him in his right mind while he was in the middle of trouble. I can't even fathom. I think I've read some accounts where it was like 13 years or so, and I didn't double check that, so I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But anytime being in prison, you haven't done anything wrong. It's too long.
Right.
So that entire time, Joseph never veered away from trusting God. Can I ask you a question? And I know the correct way to say that for my English majors is may I. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever been surrounded by trouble? Have you ever been so much trouble where it's like trouble on every side? That sounds like a song, right? So trouble comes against you, and you kind of reeling from that, and you're trying to process it. And then trouble, while you trying to process, here comes some more trouble on the other side and from behind. And here comes trouble with a couple of his crazy cousins, mayhem and mess, and them.
And all of that comes on you at one time and you can't even get your bearings. Anybody ever had that experience? If I could live both feet, I would do that. The worse it got for Joseph, it seems the more he trusted God. The more he trusted God, it seems the more favor was on his life and in his situation. People have actually told me that they don't believe those stories in the Bible, that those are just metaphorical, allegorical. Those are just fables to illustrate some life principle. That's what they say until something jump off and they've come back secretly and asked me to pray for them. But they say, you know, that none of that really happened. There was no Joseph. Well, this is what I know. I have now lived long enough, and I'm praying for many more years, but now I've lived long enough to know for myself that you really can have trouble in your way. I would like to sing it, but our men's choir tore it up recently. Trouble in your way where you have to cry sometime. This is not just a story and a fable. Joseph was real. And just like in that song, Jesus will fix it after a while. The question for you today is, do you trust him? Do you trust him right now in everything that you're dealing with, the big things and the little things? I'm curious as to what kind of relationship did Jochebed and Joseph have with the Lord that sustained them in trouble and then through trouble? I'm just curious, how did Jochebed, Moses' mom, not lose her mind after being pregnant, they're slaves, giving birth, learning about a death decree on all those newborn sons of a certain age? Then she had to make a decision to hide her baby, who was an infant, a newborn, for 3 months. Anybody could have heard him crying. You know, there are some neighbors and some family members that would rat you out, especially if somebody came and killed their child. They don't want you to have any kind of joy. How did she manage that? How did she do that, knowing that hiding her son was in direct violation of Pharaoh's death decree? How did she not panic and just give up? When did she know exactly the right time to take the next course of action, which was an act of faith, and put her innocent, precious baby boy in a basket so he could float down the river? I want to know, how did she give up control? How did she just trust God? How did she let go and let God? Is Jochebed's example, is that your example? Is there something or someone that, and especially a family member, where someone that you love, right now is the appointed time, you need to let them go. You need to put them in the hands of the Lord and let them go. Do you trust them to keep that person safe? Or is Joseph's story your story? So you don't believe haters are real. I never did. I got a couple of cousins back in Michigan. Since they're not here, I'm not going to call their names, but they always talk about the haters. I'm like, yeah, you ain't got no haters. But now I understand. Right. Yes, you can have haters. There are folk in your life who dislike you to the point of they will turn on you, they will lie on you, they will sabotage you, and they'll be friendly with you until you don't give them what they want. And so, in the case of Joseph, his father had given him a coat. He didn't give it to himself. There are haters that are upset about what God, your heavenly Father, has given you. They're jealous about a spiritual gift or a natural gift, an anointing, an accomplishment. They're upset about an ability or the favor that's on your life or on your children, on your ministry, on your marriage. They are haters. And those gifts came from the heavenly Father. Well, we see from the story of Joseph that haters do exist, but it still does not give us the right to be led into temptation to get them back, to get evil, and to get revenge or to repay evil for evil. Yeah. We don't have the right. Do you trust the Lord to vindicate you? Do you trust the Lord to fight your battles and handle the haters? Do you trust the Lord to settle the score Or do you trust him to extend grace and mercy even to your haters? Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Can you, like Moses' mother, trust God to take care of your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, whoever is on your heart that you care about? Can you trust God to take care of that person? The scripture we read earlier contains three keys to unlock the secret, I believe, of trusting God fully. From Proverbs 3, verse 5, we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's key number one. You're going to have to trust him with everything in your heart. And as I shared Wednesday night, of course I trust the Lord. We tight. You know what I'm saying? I'm always praying and in his presence and worshiping for real. But there was a part of my heart that would not trust him with a particular situation. And I shared Wednesday, I told the Lord, if you don't do it, if you don't handle it, I'm going to handle it. And then, y'all know that's crazy. Someone came on Christian television and said, if you say things like, if God doesn't keep his promises, you're in unbelief. And that's where I was. So I shifted back and really went all the way in with my whole heart. And God showed off and touched it 3 days later. God is awesome. So do you trust God in that way with all of your heart? Key number one, it's going to take your whole heart. Do your own homework. Do your own heart assessment. We're not passing that now. You don't have to fill in any bubbles or go online and take nothing. You know if you trust him with all of your heart or not. If you keep running back, taking it back, you're not there yet. Or if, like me, who had temporarily could have played insanity, said, Lord, if you don't handle it, if you don't do it this well, that's another indication. You're not trusting with your whole heart. Key number two, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not. You can't trust your understanding. God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. However brilliant you are, however long you've known him to be good and come through, you're not going to be able to work this out intellectually. You cannot lean on your own understanding. Some things are going to defy your logic when it comes to the Lord. You're expecting him. He's going to come from the left. He's laughing. He's already on your right side trying to hand you the answer. Your understanding is imperfect. That's key number two. And the third and final key, in all your ways, submit. In all of your way, all you're doing, all your thinking, all your strategizing, all your planning, all you're doing, all your living, you're going to have to submit. Right. You need to give it over. You need to give it to God and let go and go ahead and pop some popcorn and watch the reruns or enjoy your life knowing that God can handle it. I was laughing with someone recently about the scripture that it says God neither sleeps nor slumbers. So if he up all night, I might as well go to bed.
That's right.
What you doing up all night worrying and crying and rocking back and forth? He never sleeps. Go to bed. Get some rest. Be a blessing. Comb your hair and brush your teeth. God's got it. Be a blessing. You got to trust him. You got to not lean on your own understanding. And you need to, in all your ways, give it, submit to him. So, church, I just want you to know, this is just a reminder, but the Lord told me that it is also an encouragement and it is also an invitation. So however that suits you, if you just needed to be reminded that you can trust him because he thought we were to die for, if you just need to be reminded of that, fine. If you need to be encouraged because it's something you're going through, child away, getting ready to go to college, and you worried sick, you ought not to be worried sick over nothing. Worry is a sin. It's an affront and an insult to God. Pray, trust, and let go. Or it's an invitation. You don't even know him. You don't even have a relationship with him. You kind of been courting him. You kind of come to church, but you never invited him into your heart. Then it's an invitation to come all the way in and have your own relationship with the Lord. Yeah. So today, it's a song that Pastor Moriah and the choir sings about waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Yeah.
He is all of that,
yeah.
And he can be trusted. The only one who sent his only begotten son is waiting on you to trust him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
word from the Lord. Let's give God praise. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we open up the doors of the church. Please stand as we sing hymn number 285, I Will Trust in the Lord. If you're here today under the sound of my voice and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to accept him today. Will you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Will you trust him today as we sing hymn number 285? Will you submit to him today? Will you come? Hymn number